3. Questions at Night. Darkness has fallen. My mind is full. Many perplexities present themselves. Though it has only been a little over 24 hours since I followed the crowd out into the street and found myself suddenly face to face with a man at the center of the storm, so much in my life has changed. No doubt you had the same reaction as you rose from where you were seated, and likewise left your home or place of work to follow the multitude. You were caught up in it just as suddenly and unexpectedly as was I. I don't know what to make of it all. He says such unusual things. What does it all mean? I don't exactly even know who he is. His closest friends call him teacher and master. Occasionally he refers to himself as the Son of Man, whatever that means. It is an odd expression. Of course, by now I know that his given name is Jess. But no one seems to use that for address. Neither do they call him by his last name, Josephson, as would seem customary. Therefore, as I follow to discover what his teachings about God mean in my life, I don't know what I should call him. But I'm a little timid to ask. He never rebukes anyone for a question. He is always very patient to answer. Yet I am hesitant to speak out and perhaps betray my foolishness. And now, as night closes in, I am left alone with my thoughts, my uncertainties, my doubts. The hour grows late. Still, sleep eludes me. Faintly through the open window I hear voices, speaking softly and in hushed tones. I rise to glance out. Two figures are walking amongst the trees outside, near where we are staying. It is him. In haste I dress, quickly leave the room, hurry down the stairs as quietly as possible, so as to disturb none of the others. Reaching the cool, still air of the night, I glance about, then follow in the direction I last saw them. A partial moon hangs in the sky to faintly guide my steps. I move slowly into the depths of a park. Gradually, soft voices come into hearing. I creep forward, straining to listen, pausing at length behind a tree at the edge of the clearing, where the two men have seated themselves on a bench and are talking quietly together. Scattered words from their discussion drift toward me. Born again. See the kingdom of God. How? When he is old, a second time? I tell you the truth, begins Jess, then pauses. He glances up, exactly in the direction where I am standing. As before, with uncanny intuition, he senses my presence. He rises and walks forward. No annoyance registers on his face, but rather a smile of invitation. Please, my friend, he says, approaching with outstretched hand. Come join us. You are most welcome. I step out of the shadows, feeling a momentary twinge of embarrassment, but quickly it passes. He leads me across the dewy grass to the bench where the other sits waiting, a man I recognize from among the throng the day before. We greet one another and shake hands. Nick and I were just discussing how one participates in God's life and lives in his kingdom, says Jess, resuming his seat as I sit down on the other side. Perhaps you have found yourself puzzled about it too. Actually, yes, I have, I reply. I have been listening to you since yesterday when, you know, when you said you wanted me to follow you. He nods. And afterward, when you were speaking from the little knoll when we were gathered in the field, when you were telling us what brings happiness in life. Did you understand what I said? He asks. Mostly, I think. But still you are perplexed? I don't know. Somewhat, perhaps. I falter, it is difficult to open my mind to him. Somehow I sense that he already knows what I want to say. It's just, you see, I go on hesitantly, I have been a religious person for some time. Most of my life, actually. I pause for a breath. These are difficult thoughts to express. I'm not a saint by any means, I continue. I know I've got problems like anyone else, but I have tried to be a good and decent person. And yet everything you are saying about God and the kingdom, about repentance, about hungering after righteousness, it is much different than what I have been accustomed to hearing in church. You are right, Jess replies. The kingdom of God is not about being religious, nor is it a way of life taught in church. What is it then? It is about doing God's will. I have heard about God's will all my life, but it sounds so different when you say it. So down to earth and practical. What is God's will exactly? This is what I have been sent to tell you and show you. Sent? By whom? God? Yes. God, our Father in heaven. How does one live in his kingdom then? How does one begin? I ask. That is just what I have been explaining to Nick. To enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. But how can that be? Surely you don't mean actually to be born a second time. Yes, he replies, but a spiritual second birth, not a physical one as was your first. That was a birth created by your father and mother. The birth I speak of is one created by the Father and Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? I will explain everything in time, he replies with a smile. For now, I only want you to see the necessity of this second birth. What comprises such a spiritual birth, then? Deciding to live in God's kingdom and do his will. That does not sound complicated. It is not. It is only difficult for those who want their own will instead of God's. I try to take in his words. They seem straightforward. Yet somehow I sense that they contain depths and mysteries that will take me a lifetime to apprehend. For those who love God and want to do as he tells them, Jess goes on, nothing could be easier than such a second birth, making the decision to live according to his will. But why do you liken it to a birth? Because mankind is born into the world wanting to please only himself. His will is entirely a self-will. Such is the bent of humanity's fallen nature. It comes with the first birth. Surely you see it in yourself. The predisposition to put yourself first, to satisfy only yourself, even occasionally to do what you know is wrong. Yes, I am aware of it, I nod a little sheepishly. This self-will is the curse of Adam's race. A second birth, therefore, a spiritual birth, is necessary in order to lay down that self-will and take up God's will instead. To leave the life of self-rule behind and be born into a new life where God rules. I am doing my best to understand. That is why I say you must be born again, Jess says. Born out of self-will into God's will. It is a birth of relinquishment, laying down the one to take up the other. I ponder his words a few moments. At my side, Nick is also thoughtful. Then what is this will of God you speak of? I ask after a few moments. I want to live in it. Have patience, he answers. I will show you. Listen to what I say. Heed my teaching. follow my example. Then you will know how to lay down your own and live in God's will." I nod again. I sense that the opportunity for questions on this night, for me, is done. The time has come for me to listen, as he said, to heed his teaching and to follow his example. Gradually, he and Nick resume their conversation. Nick is filled with many questions about what Jess is talking about, as am I. I sit and listen patiently as he seeks to explain it. I must confess that I understand only snatches of what follows. It is new, and some of it sounds strange in my ears. One portion of the discussion, however, remains with me after that night, and continues to repeat itself in my mind ever since. I cannot claim to fully grasp its import, but I find the words comforting and reassuring in the midst of the many questions that remain. Jess said that his Father in heaven loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to earth to lead people into his kingdom and show them how to do his Father's will. Then he said that they who believe in the Son, those who enter God's kingdom and do his will, shall never die. They will live with God forever. Their life in his kingdom will be eternal. It begins to dawn on me that when he speaks of God's Son, he means himself. But I do not understand what this signifies. From Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.